Hello, this is Father Schnurrit Mensah. Welcome to Coptic Voice Radio. Proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese and affiliate regions. And with me I have...
Ray.
And I have...
Stana.
Yes, today we'll be speaking about the free will. What does it mean by free will? Do you have a free will? We all have a free will. And God gave us free will. As human beings, we were given that free will to do right, to do wrong. And we're looking at the gospel today on Luke chapter 10 from verse 1 to 20. And we'll be looking at woman of faith. Do you know who was Noah's wife? Well, I don't know who Noah's wife is, but Stana will tell us about who Noah's wife was. Mind you, her name was never mentioned. But Stana did some good research and she'll give us a topic on woman of faith. Also be looking at a topic on exercising free will. What does it mean by exercising free will? You know, we execute loan instruments and execute so many things. And judges and lawyers and people execute, you know, the law. Please execute the law. How do we exercise free will? How do we execute free will in our lives? That's a discussion that we'll be having too. Also, how do we say no to sin? Yeah. When I say no to sin, I say no to sin. How can we say no to sin and yes to righteousness, yes to holiness, yes to living integrity, saying no to a lie, saying yes to a truth? Well, these are the things we'll be talking about today. And stay tuned. We shall have a short little break with a piece of music. And we'll come back directly into Luke chapter 10, verse 20. That gives you just a little bit of time to get your Bibles. That way you can join us on Luke chapter 10 from verse 1 to verse 20. Now we're ready for our gospel reflection. Turn on to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, and be reading from verse 1 to verse 20. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send our laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. And if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such thing as they are set before you, and heal the sick there. And say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more terrible for Tyre and Sidon, or the judgment, than for you. And you, Capernaum, you are exalted to heaven, will be brought back down to Hades. He who hears me, he who rejects me, he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Glory be God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. This is a beautiful passage that reminds all of us, that the most important part for us all is not the miracles that I made, is not anything that I be able to do by the grace of God, but Jesus said and reminds us, he says, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, what is meant by your names will be written in heaven? It says very clearly that when Jesus speaks about our names written in heaven, Jesus made a point in another passage. One, in order for us to have the kingdom of heaven, one needs to be baptized. So the first one is our names written in heaven, because when a person is baptized, the names are recorded in heaven, that we are sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of the kingdom of heaven. When we go to do a passport, they say that we are a citizen of Australia. So therefore, our names recorded will become citizens of heaven. Do you know that? Do you know that for us to practice the gospel of love, live the gospel of love, is better than casting out demons? Did you know that God wants us to love our enemies, love those who persecute us, bless those who despisefully use us? God wants us to live the gospel, practice the gospel. That way, your name will be written in the kingdom of heaven. It's not that you cast out demons. And that's why Jesus said, do not rejoice. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Another thing he says very clearly, that he who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. That's why, my dear friends, you don't need to say much. People see your actions. People see the smile on your face. People see the glitter in your eyes that says, I love you, I care for you. People see the gospel written in your face when you say to them, I love you, I care for you, God loves you. What are you preaching? You're preaching that God is love. And that's why the whole aspect of living the gospel, practicing the gospel of love. That way your name will be written in the kingdom of heaven. Not because of the amount of money that you have, all the wealth you have, all the power you have. Do you know, my dear friend, that we all be buried the same way? We'll all be buried 6 foot under. But what are you going to take with you? The deeds that you've done towards others, the love that you exercise with others. Not about how many people you've exercised spirits out of, but the love that you gave. Living the life of love, dear friends. That's why, dear friends, to love your wife, love your husband, love your children. Keep everything truly in that spirit. You find your life will change, because then you live the gospel of Christ. Then you live the gospel of love, because Jesus is none other than the one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. And that's why our Lord did send them two by two, did send them out that way. But when we look at, for example, in a family setting, husband, wife have children, they raise their children, raise children in the spirit of love. And dear friends, there's nothing more beautiful than you share your life with someone else. No much more beautiful when you raise children. Sometimes we raise other people's children. That's what it says. It takes a village to raise a child. What part of a system do you belong to that raises children? Dear friends, that's why we say God is love. And because that God is love, it means God desires us to exercise the spirit of love on everyone. Ray, what are your reflection on this, Ray, please?
Well, Father, I believe that you should live your life by leading by example. You know, to lead by example is very important, because leading by example is showing that you not only believe in what you preach, but you practice it as well. And also, you know, when a good man passes away, as you say, he leaves his deeds behind. And a good man will always be remembered for his good deeds. And I truly believe that when you're a good person and you pass away, when people mention you in their stories or in past memories, that you are given blessings for these good memories, because you are because you're remembered for all the good deeds that you do, and so therefore people will continue to speak well of you even in your death. But when a bad person passes away, they're quickly forgotten. They're never brought up in any memories or in any good stories or, you know, good tidings. And I think that's the curse of being a bad person, that you're not led by example. You haven't left behind good deeds, so therefore you're forgotten quite easily. So to me, it's very, very important to lead by example and to do as many good deeds as you can on a daily basis, so that you may be remembered when you pass on, and that you may receive blessings for all the deeds that you've done, both here on earth in the way of mention and in heaven in the way of the deeds that you've done.
Thank you, Ray. Stana?
Yes, Father. Well, I agree with Ray just earlier with what he said. It is the lives that you touch while when you're gone, and the legacy that you leave behind, that is ultimately the most important. But this passage in particular speaks of the 70 whom Jesus sent out. Now, he sent them out in a kind of internship, and it was a training time while Jesus was with them. So here we see it emphasizes the everyday life of a disciple. Here we see Jesus is making sure that his followers understood what being a disciple involved. He introduces them to the concept of cost. For some, the cost may be greater and of a different type than others, but all ultimately will experience the cost of discipleship. So we are laborers. Jesus being the shepherd who will lead us, we are not to rejoice in the spiritual gifts or natural abilities God has bestowed upon us, but we are to rejoice in the works of God. So in essence, this passage is telling us that as disciples, we should pray for more laborers to share in the good news and also to rejoice that our names are written in heaven.
Thank you, Stana. Now, I guess in saying further, why do you think that Jesus focused on, for example, the mission of two by two? Is there a secret mean that we never go alone but always have the support of the other? Meaning, for example, when I used the expression this early on, that it takes a village to raise a child. And that aspect of village takes a village to raise a child means that it takes more than one person to raise a child. In this case, in a family setting, have mum and dad, grandparents, uncle and aunt, the neighbours around me. You have also the community around me. Then there is the school. Then there is, the sports. There is, the arts and culture. So it takes all of these factors, by the way. And in other case here is also is the church or the faith community that you might belong to. So here it shows you that there is this whole context that Jesus wants to talk about, that God wants to talk about, and that is the aspect of what? To love thy neighbour at constantly. Stana.
Yes, Father. When I think about that, I assume that it was done for safety, comfort, and mutual encouragement for one another, because the terrains would have been very tough, and they needed to have each other in order to encourage, comfort, and create a sense of safety.
Thank you, Stan. Ray?
Yes, Father. And it's basically for the sake of not just safety in numbers, but also the support by someone else who believes in the same cause and believes in the same things that you believe in. So the support is possibly more important than the safety there, the fact that that person will back you up and support what you're saying. So it gives a little bit more weight to what you say to others.
Thank you very much. Now, on that note, we have a little short break and continue on our program for this afternoon. Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. Listen to Father Shulam Mansour, and also have Ray and Stana. And this segment here, we're talking about women of faith. Now, tell us, Stana, surprise us today.
Yes, Father. Well, today I'll be speaking about Noah's wife. and she's found in Genesis chapter 7, verse 7, and it reads, "And Noah and his wife, his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives, they entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood." So God came to Noah with a mission of salvation. Build an ark, bring in the animals, and your family will be saved. So you have to wonder what exactly went through her mind, having heard her husband's future plans. So over breakfast one morning, did he say to her, "Oh, by the way, God says I should build an ark because there's going to be a flood"? Maybe his wife wondered what practical experience her husband had that would make him good at boat building, and what was a flood anyway? At that time, there had never been a flood. Did Noah's neighbors make fun of him for his ark building project? Maybe so. Perhaps she trusted her husband because she'd seen evidence of the wisdom his faith brought him. Maybe she walked closely with God too. Whether or not she had chosen it, Mrs. Noah became part of Noah's salvation mission. She had to live on the ark for many months, smelling the terrible odors the animals put off and trying to keep house in what seemed like impossible circumstances. There must have been times when she wondered how she got into this and what was going to become of her family. Stress-free living certainly wasn't part of the ark experience. Yet the day came when God commanded everyone to come out of the ark. Noah prepared a sacrifice, and God promised such destruction would never happen again. He blessed the members of Noah's family and commanded them to multiply and cover the earth. What joy must have filled the earth as the animals headed off to their favorite watering holes, caves, and other spots. So sometimes, like Mrs. Noah, we end up part of a mission that doesn't have our names on it. So when our husband takes a role in church leadership, it impacts his wife too. So when the church decides to open a new ministry, we may find ourselves drafted into an unexpected position. How do we respond? Are we good-natured supporters, or do we start whining and complaining? Complaints never glorify God, but willing service like Mrs. Noah's always will. So just also wanted to add that although the Bible doesn't mention her name, I was looking and doing my research, and I had found that in a Jewish writing known as Genesis Rabbah, which is from the 5th century AD, it states, "Naama, daughter of Lamech and a sister of Tubal-Cain, was Noah's wife." So according to Jewish tradition, her name is Naama, which means beautiful, the beautiful, or the pleasant one. But the lessons that I'd like to pass on towards the modern woman of today is just to reflect on what kind of person she was. So obviously she was a great woman of God. So we see her faith to be very strong. But in and of itself, I often wonder, did she also hear from God? Perhaps she had seen God provide for her family in the past and had gone and had grown to trust him. So not only was she a woman of faith and righteousness, love and compassion, but she was a woman who was well ordered in her priorities in life. So without keeping her focus on God, the virtues of faith, righteousness and compassion that marked her life would have never been possible. Her life was a test of faith in God's command to build the ark. It was a test of courage in the flood and a test of endurance as the flood subsided. So her story is a story of a woman with extraordinary patience.
Beautiful. Extraordinary. I'm always fascinated with the lives of the Jewish women. And none of that, by the way, that they truly live their lives. And, you know, and that shows us why when God chose St. Mary, the Mother of God, to become the Mother of God, they were extraordinary women. And that's why it's so important for us at Coptic Voice Radio, we speak about women of faith in order to show how simple it is to live a life of God, how easy it is to live a life of God. And mind you, always have that whole aspect of fruit, that spirituality, with God's help, we can do it. Exercising free will. And I guess the concept is, what is meant by exercising free will? What is free will? God gave us free will when we were born, and God gave, when he created man, he created him with a mind, body and soul, and also gave him also the concept of free will. I mean to say that I go where I want to go. I wake up when I want to wake up. I have the right to, you know, to start my day in the morning and come back whenever I want to, and so forth. But also the aspect of free will gives us in the free will to travel overseas, the free will to travel interstate, free will to drive by car or catch the public transport, or the free will to, you know, to marry or to be single, the free will to have kids, the free will not to have kids, and the list is endless. So God gave us the free will, and exercising my free will. When we look at the book of Genesis gives us that whole aspect in chapter 3, and how mankind fell into sin because they exercised their free will. And the free will, very clearly, was that God said to Adam and Eve very clearly, you have all of the garden, but only one fruit in the garden that you may not eat nor touch. And the day that you eat this fruit, you shall surely die. The conversation happened between Eve and the serpent. And the serpent made a very point, very clearly, you shall not die, but you shall become like God, knowing good and evil. And Eve told him, God said to us that the moment that we eat from this fruit, we shall surely die. Who said you shall surely die? You shall be like God, knowing good and evil. Mind you, what did Eve do? She looked at it, she saw it was good, and she ate and gave it to her husband, Adam. And what happened? The eyes were both opened. And not only that, they saw themselves naked, meaning the purity of the heart of knowing that they were not naked opened their eyes after they ate the fruit, and they saw the nakedness of their own body. Mind you, in a husband and wife, but what they don't see the nakedness in a bad way. They see the nakedness is in impurity and love and the acceptance and respect that they have in the sacrament of marriage. Anyway, further to that point, when the afternoon, that same day, it says very clearly, God came in the cool of the afternoon and so forth, and came towards, like a sunset. And God said, Adam, where are you, Adam? And what did Adam say? Oh, Lord, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, God said, now, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? What do you think Adam answered? Did he answer say that, well, I did it and I was wrong? No, he said, nah. The woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And obviously the story goes on it through, but he exercising my free will. And that whole issue of exercising the free will is very real. I mean to say that if Ray that and Tony, you're given a $10,000 ring.
Yeah.
No, one more, let me finish. I've given you, someone came to you and said, you know very well, recently just went down to the jewelry and he saw this ring for $10,000. But he said, listen, I'll give you for $150.
I would question it.
You would question it, all right. Tony, what would you do?
Yeah, I'd probably question it too.
But now, the question is, so let's take another man. Yeah, I'll buy it. And he bought it for $150. Then none of that, he went home. Darling, I bought you this beautiful ring. You know, it cost me an arm and a leg. And so forth. So what did the man exercise is free will. He purchased a stolen good. And not only that, he lied to his wife. So I myself will not just further question it, I would say, no, thank you. I do not want to buy it because, no thanks. But it's so important.
But that's very sad as well, Abuna, because, sorry, Father, is because you look at that ring is going to be a reminder of the ultimate lie. So I think that in itself is so, so sad.
Well, obviously, yes. When we look at the exercise of free will,
yes,
Stana, is that very clearly. That very clearly, you know, that do exactly. I for another one, for example, is that, for example, with women's clothing, a woman, yes. by the way, go and buy a cloth item that wear for one occasion, then they return and say, oh, I don't want this. But you've used this.
Exactly.
So yes. where is integrity? Mind you, by the way, you know, I've heard off stories, so I'm not saying that this is what normally happened, but this is, I've heard of story, this is what happens. Again, where, okay, you exercise your free will, you did suffer through, no different to the man buying the ring, no different to the woman using the clothing, you know, for one event, then return and saying, well, you know, I don't like it or whatever it is. But where's integrity?
Exactly. It just where's goes it? To show.
Where's integrity? 100%. Mind you, I've heard of these stories, but I think for us, and we need to practice the gospel, the gospel of honesty, the gospel of integrity, the gospel of exercising the free will. And exercising free will is that to live a pure and righteous life.
Exactly, it's a framework, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, I find it so incredible. And how people, why do you think our insurance and premiums so high? Because people abuse it through. How could anyone, you know, say, well, exactly. I want to get an insurance, I do.
And it's very sad, Father, because the innocent will always suffer because of the majority.
The innocent are the ones that suffer.
100%.
Well, Father, that's the reason why.
Absolutely.
Father, God could have made us all just obedient. And, you know, and
but
everyone will be faultless. But I think the idea of free will or having a choice is to test the integrity of each person.
Exactly.
So that, you know, if you decide to do the right thing, well, then there is a reward. And just like when we say to our children, you know, you do a good thing, there is a reward. You do a bad thing, there's consequence. And it's the same thing.
Exactly.
So, you know, What's really on the line is your integrity, personal integrity. What do you accept as being the right thing to do?
Exactly.
And according to that, whether you be rewarded or chastised or, you know, suffer consequence.
Exactly. But the golden rule. But you know, another one.
Yeah. A family man. You know, we've seen this, by the way, on television. A family man takes his children. And it goes to the fetus.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, the children are above 16.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? Oh, could I buy, you know, free children instead of paying for the adult ticket, the full fare?
Yes.
Another one, by the way, you know, here in Sydney, for those who are outside Sydney, outside Australia, we have what we call the Opal card. The Opal card, by the way, in Sydney is the card that we use to tap off for the train and for the buses. You know, the exercise, the free will in order to jump over through. And some people don't pay for the fare. And it's wrong. So therefore we exercise our free will to do right or to do wrong. I want to say to you, it's so important that we got to be good examples in society. We've got to be good examples as models for society.
Absolutely.
And I say that purpose that way we know how to provide for society. If we want the integrity, if we want to live integrity, you know, I need to be able to practice the good book.
Exactly.
And practice the good book, by the way, depending on your good book, for me, the good book is the Bible. But maybe other people have different traditions. The good book is whatever the book that you might be pegging through. And I know that we have many people from different traditions that may be listening on to our program. So I know that people of faith practice their faith in integrity. Practice of faith in honesty.
That's right.
And I think regardless of your tradition of fruit, for me, Jesus teaches me honesty. The Bible teaches me honesty. The Bible teaches me, to be right with everyone. And I use the whole aspect of the aspect of what? The aspect of exercising my free will that I will live a pure life. Meaning to say that I will not cheat on my wife or I will not cheat on my husband. I'll keep my children safe. I'll be honest with work. I'll be honest in transport. I'll be honest with to the best of my ability and God will bless. That's why when we look at the whole aspect of our, a second part of, our for this afternoon is how do I say no to sin? Mind you, I already exercised the whole aspect of my free will that I am going to promise to live the best of my life, that I will live with honesty, that I will not sleep with another woman, I will not sleep with another man. Meaning here to say that my marriage is pure. It means that I exercise my free will, I'll say no to sin. I wonder what would happen if Eve told the serpent, no, God help me. God, look what's happened. I think God would, the Heavenly Father would have, have kicked out the serpent, but it wanted what? It needed what? The whole aspect of me saying no. When temptation is right at the front of that door, I say no. Joseph was one prime example. Joseph, in the Old Testament, Potiphar's wife, by the way, was after him. He was young, he was handsome, he was this and so forth. And obviously, she was a cougar. Older woman loving younger men. Cougar. She was a cougar.
Yeah.
It's as if I was pronouncing it incorrectly. Yeah. Sorry about that. But I reckon that she was, a woman, that was cougar.
She's much
older,
yeah.
She was a cougar. Temptress.
What was it? What was
a temptress, father.
Yeah. Yeah. A temptress. A woman that loves him. It's a fact. Older men love younger women, and there were older women that love younger men.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that, but what did Joseph, the whole aspect that Joseph did was what? He said, no. Your husband gave me everything, control, but the one thing that he didn't is you.
Yes.
I have everything but you.
Yeah,
and the Bible says she cast her eyes on him constantly.
Mm.
Yeah,
but Joseph said what? He said no.
I guess
the only way that how we could say no to sin, we need to be practicing and exercising our free will correctly. And that way, we say right to righteousness or yes to righteousness, we say no to any form of sin. And I tell you, but don't say, God gave you the freedom to exercise your free will, but what does the free will could get you into a lot of problem if you did it incorrectly?
Yes, Father. I just wanted to also just add, with my children in particular, when I tell them, look, judge wisely, and they say, Mom, we're presented with a lot of challenges and influences in life. How do we determine besides, the values that we are taught and the, the moral laws of God, what is right from wrong? Sometimes it's hard. And I simply tell them, look, one quick way to understand and to follow through with is if it does not glorify God, don't do it. Then that it's for the self-glorification of the person. Then that it's wrong. It needs to be able to glorify God. That's when that decision and that action is worthy to take and it's a blessed way to take also.
Ray?
Well, everyone knows right from wrong, Father. And the decision lies in what you find acceptable and not acceptable. So if you're a righteous person, you know, the wrong is not acceptable. And like I said, everyone knows right from wrong, even from a young age. It's a personal choice. So, you know, when you're presented with a situation where, you know, you're asked or expected to do wrong, that's when you show character strength, and that's what it's really about, character strength and personal conviction and belief and faith, and say, no, I'm not taking part of that because it's wrong to do that. And I'd rather, you know, maybe miss out or not have that, you know, because it wasn't meant to be, because there is consequence to it. There is no reward.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I believe.
So it's understanding that with every choice that there are consequences that come with it. And it's important to note that, you know, free will, it's a feature of divinity. And the grace of God, it does not enslave us, the conscience or freedom of humanity. And it's really left to us to strive towards God's love and have communion with Him. So we really, in life, we have the ability to choose and to have faith in God and be secure in our eternal life. Or we can choose to turn from God and live apart from Him. Each and every action we take, every thought and every action has consequences. So we need to choose wisely.
And that's when you said that concern, it shows us that we need to exercise our free will.
Exactly.
And our free will, by the way, is to do the right and the good.
Exactly.
And we look at just one aspect. Yeah. Let's look at the whole Bible.
Yeah.
With one commandment.
Yeah.
Love thy neighbor. And actually, if we love thy neighbor, I will not steal from him. I will not be, I will not take.
Misuse the friendship.
Exactly. Misuse the friendship.
Not lie to him.
I will not lie to him.
Not covenant his not, wife.
Or not only that, in the 10th commandment said, not just covenant his neighbor's
wealth,
wife.
His material wealth, things.
His slaves. Exactly. Obviously, there's no slaves today. No.
But the material things.
At that
things.
Time, you know, there was other things and yeah. his and his stock and self and so. So he shows you that you should never covet your neighbor's belongings.
Yes, that's right.
And therefore, not just only your wife, but for the woman as well, that's husband. Right. Yes. Even to the point that women, by the way, are scared. Now she's going to steal my husband away from me, or you know, he's going to steal my wife from me. So therefore, you find that there is lots of anxiety happening
exactly.
through.
It has a ripple effect.
But that's where that old saying comes in of, "Do unto others as you wish done unto you." So if you don't find something acceptable, then don't go out and do it yourself. Don't, you know, don't be hypocrites. You know, don't say, you know, I don't want someone to steal from me and then you go out and steal from others. I don't want to, you know, people to lie to me, but then you go out and lie.
Wouldn't it be best, you know, to teach your children when a child comes home, say, "Oh, Dad, listen, I haven't done my assignment. My assignment's due tomorrow. Please say I'm sick."
No, acceptable.
You have to.
I wonder what type of moral value.
Yeah, it happens. Exactly. But we see this is where, as a parent,
you have to be tough. It's self-responsibility.
Well, you lead by lead by example, right? So when that situation comes up, you say, "No, well, why didn't you do the homework? Well, you know, I was not feeling the best. I was just too tired or whatever." Then that's what you got to tell your teacher, because at the end of the day, if you allow them to do it, it's actually you've created the biggest sin, not the child.
Exactly. It's the child taking responsibility.
Well, the child learns from you. So if you're his teacher as well. So if you're teaching them the wrong thing, the child is really without malice or without wrongdoing there. It's you that's teaching them wrongdoing. So you need to say, "Hang on a minute. You didn't do your homework because you were lazy or watching TV or playing soccer or whatever it may be." Then you got to go and face a consequence and say to the teacher, "No, I didn't do it, miss or sir, because I was playing soccer or I preferred to watch TV or my favourite show was on," and then face up to those consequences.
Exactly.
Because that's very important, and it happens all the time, actually.
Exactly.
You know, there was a situation where a girl messaged, you know, my daughter saying to her, "Look, I'm not going to school today. Just tell your mum and dad that you're feeling sick and we'll meet up at the shopping centre. And now I didn't interfere there. I left to her to see her reaction and whether she's learnt anything from what we've been teaching her. And she messaged her back, "No, I'm really sorry, I can't do that, because that's belonging to my mum and dad." You know what I mean? So I gave her that opportunity. Again, she had the free will to either decide, you know, she's going to lie to us and say, "Look, I'm not feeling very well." And of course, because we care and love her so much, we would have made her stay home. You know what I mean? But she made the conscious choice to do the right thing because we've set an example. And she followed that example and used her free will to do the right thing.
100%. And Father, if you look at child psychology in particular, it's been proven that children, you know, it's very, very powerful to teach them, yes, but it's even more powerful what you're showing them, because children take on more of your actions, what you actually do, as to, you know, what you really say. Obviously, what you say does... you know, is in being enforced, but it's really what you're doing that is the truest and the truest model of example. But as Ray was saying, it's through failure and consequences ultimately that we have that experience to be able to self-reflect. And it's through self-reflection that we realize that what we need as a person to in order to grow and become more resilient and become more authentic as a person.
Another thing is, Stana, is that, for example, in the shopping.
Yes.
I go in some shops in Australia. We have what we call self-service.
Yes.
We've got a basket and I scan the items. And some people, and it's been reported in the media, how people will take items, expensive items, and you know...
Not scan them.
Yes, but scan the cheaper ones and so forth.
Mm.
You know, I said, it's wrong.
Yes.
It's wrong.
Exactly.
We need to live the values.
Exactly.
Of honesty.
And you really need to be your worst critic in this sense, Father, because if you do not reflect on your actions, you can't change them. You need to be able to reflect on what you're doing and actually know that you want to be better, you want to do better. And it's only through reflection that you're going to become and really grow on that journey.
People, life is very short. And why I say that is because that we have to always remember that what we do remains for us forever.
Exactly.
The scars will always be there. And that's why we always need to have the whole aspect that God gave us a free will and we should use it correctly, not for the wrong, but for the right. Let's serve each other. Let's love each other. Let's live a life of righteousness, life of holiness, life of purity. Love your fellow man. Love your husbands. Love your wives. Love your children. Love society. What's the point of not doing all that? Remember, to raise a child takes a village. You are part of the big village. We're all part of the big village. Let's keep our children safe. Let's keep our women safe. Let's keep our men safe. Why do you want to do wrong in society? Why do you think you're better than the other? Friends, we become an obstacle for others. We need to take those obstacles and put it in a rubbish bin and show that God is love. And if God is love, I will live a life of love and life of righteousness with each other and with everyone. And by the way, by you doing this, you will keep the commandments in your life. You will keep the ordinance and statutes of God in your life. And by the way, you will see that the good book, the Bible, is a source of life. And that what you'll see, that it only speaks about righteousness and holiness. Then you'll see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You'll see that God is the path that will take you to heaven. Then you'll see that all that you do, I cannot sin against God. I will rather live a life of righteousness. I will rather live a life of purity. I will live a life of holiness because
I do not want to eat that fruit that cost Adam and Eve their destruction and to be kicked out from the Garden of Eden. I want to have the Garden of Eden in my life. And on that note, it's Did You Know?
Did you know that our Father above and Lord and Saviour is a forgiving and loving God?
Did you know that God is waiting and ready to enter your heart?
Did you know we follow our Lord with our free will?
Did you know that God walks with you daily?
Did you know that God's message is alive and no matter what your situation is, He has an answer for you?
Did you know our Lord is merciful?
Did you know when more than one pray to the Lord, He's amongst you?
Did you know that Jesus meets us where we are?
Did you know our Lord loves a repentant sinner?
Did you know our Lord loves those who are righteous and true?
Did you know that sin has a price just as everything else has a price?
Did you know our Lord loves you and me?
Did you know our Lord is your sword, shield and suit of armour?
Did you know that ignorance exists only where God is not known?
Did you know our Lord Jesus Christ is present at all times?
Did you know that our Lord is the true light, author of life, and lover of all men and women? And
did you know that salvation cannot be found in any other place but Jesus Christ?
Did you know truth is in Jesus Christ?
Did you know love is our Lord and Saviour?
Did you know that the Lord is sitting on His throne, judging the world with righteousness, justice and power?
Did you know the Bible is our GPS to heaven?
Did you know that our Lord and Saviour loves all, especially the sinners?
Did you know that the greatest gift from God is love?
And did you know that you've been listening to Coptic Voice Radio? Program proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of Sydney and its affiliated regions and proudly sponsored by the Coptic Media Association Sydney. If you wish to write to us, you can do so at CopticVoiceRadio@gmail.com or you can private message us on Facebook. You'll find us at facebook.com/CopticVoiceRadio. You can also download our podcast so that you can keep up to date and also listen to our previous shows. You'll find it at the podcast app for Apple and iPhone devices, podcast app for BlackBerry devices, and an app called Stitcher for Android devices.
And now it's time to say goodbye for this hour. We hope you enjoyed our program for this hour called The Free Will. And I guess exercising your free will correctly is so important. That way we become good models for our family, good models in society, and we have what the aspect that say that you are a good man, you are a good woman. On that note, we shall have a short intermittence and go straight into our second hour of our program. And our second hour of program title is The Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. Who is the Good Shepherd? None other than Jesus. And who is the fruit? That way we're able to live a life of goodness, live a life of righteousness. And I hope that we're able to, for you to join us in our second hour, because there's nothing greater than we are sharing this program with you, because we're here to serve you, that you are our masters and we are your servants. And have a short break and listen to
Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.